turned her back and walked away. I think Jesus sorrowfully said to those standing by, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom could we go? You're the only one that has the word of life." Amen. And if you can get that somewhere deep down inside your cranium tonight, that he's the only one. If I face sickness, he's the only one that can heal me. If I face trouble, he's the only one that's going to stick with me and bring me out on the other side. Whatever happens in my life, he's the only one that can really be with me 24 hours of every day and all the answers. Why wouldn't I serve Jesus? Amen. Why wouldn't I serve him? Praise the Lord. Let's stand together today. Thank you for being here. Amen. I apologize for being a little hot tonight, but that's out of my department. Amen. I'd like to reach up and just turn the sun down a little bit, but that's a little out of my reach. Amen. What's that they say, a little above my pay grade? Amen. And not in my job description. But we will try to get the air on a little bit earlier next time. That just kind of snuck up on me, thinking, man, it ought to be cooler in here. Or maybe it's just all the hot air. Amen. No, I'm just kidding there. Praise the Lord. That's just getting ready to start. Hallelujah. Well, isn't it good to love Jesus and know that Jesus loves you? Know that you're a child of God, whatever else happens in life. Amen. Just be in much prayer this week. We've got a lot of folks that are suffering right now. And I still believe God's a healer. I do believe that. I do believe that. Amen. And we want him to do it. We have some really great needs tonight. And I'm going to ask you to really, really pray for these people that are suffering sickness in their body that need deliverance tonight. We need them back here in the house of the Lord, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So please remember that. All right. So kids can. You may go to your class and upper room youth. I know a lot of our young people are at youth camp this week. And thank God for youth camp. Wish all of them could go. Amen. But for those of us that are remaining here tonight, I want to talk to you about mastering your mindset. Mastering your mindset. Amen. I said it before, I say it again. The battle's in the mind tonight. That's where it really is. It's right up here. This is the battlefield. It's not in the strength of your muscles. Amen. It's in the strength of your will. It's in the strength of your mind. It's just making up your mind that I'm going through. You remember that old song? I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's chosen few. I've started for Jesus, and I'm going through. Amen. We've had opportunities to turn around. Amen, but we're still going through. People that I really thought were going to make it somehow took a detour. I'm going through. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. But somehow we're going to make it. I'm just blessed, and thank God we're going through. We're reading tonight from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 1 through verse 9. Amen. If you'll pardon me, I'm going to take this coat off here. It's as hot as it needs to be up here. Amen. Thank you, sir. I was at a concert one time. I got a gospel concert, and the guy was all excited. He said, "I bought a new suit today." And we said, "They're good." He said, "It had two pairs of pants with it." He said, "If it gets any hotter up here, I'm going to take one pair off." So I guess it was hot. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through verse 9. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And they spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Mastering your mindset. Amen. These seed represent the soil of the mind. What's going on up here tonight? And that's where the battle's going to be won. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. A poem written by Ella Wheeler Wilcox says this: One ship drives east, and another drives west, with the self-same winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales which tells us the way to go. Isn't that amazing that the same wind blows and one ship goes one way and one goes another? And so it is. It has to do more than anything else with what's in your mind tonight. Amen. We can and we must learn to control our thinking. Amen. Jesus talks here about, in verse number 4, he said, Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Everybody say the wayside. What's the wayside? The wayside is where people walked. And because they walked, it was hard. And it was compact. And the seed could not find depth, and it could not germinate, and it could not take root, and it could not grow. And the Bible says that literally the birds would swoop down and see that seed, and they would devour it. And on a little further on, I believe about verse number 22 or so, verse number 19, Jesus said, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." So he said that the wayside is the devil comes and takes it away from you. There are people who hear the word of God but do not retain the word of God. The reason that they cannot maintain and contain the word of God is because they have a closed mind. I said they have a closed mind. Some people know before they ever get to church what they're going to listen to and what they're not going to listen to. Some people already, before they ever get here, know what they're going to obey and what they're going to not obey. Some people have already decided how far they're going to go and where they draw the line. Amen. Some people have already decided what behaviors they're going to keep and what they're going to allow to change. Their minds are made up. It's a closed mind. Amen. Doesn't matter who's preaching. Doesn't matter how good the preaching is. Doesn't matter if the Spirit of God is moving wonderfully. Doesn't matter what the Holy Ghost says. Their mind's closed. And they will not open their mind to hear anything else. It's shut. It's reserved. Amen. Their mind is a controlled access. They only allow in what they like. It amazes me sometimes when people listen to the word of the Lord, you know, they'll get real excited about one thing and get real quiet about another.
Amen.
I've met some people that love hard preaching unless it touches them. Oh, preach it, brother. Woo! That's it, man. Hey, boy, brother, you're shelling the corn now. Until it touches them. And then all of a sudden, it's a different story. Amen. And so we have controlled access. That's the spirit of a closed mind. Amen. People close their minds to a lot of things. You know, people... It amazes me. I've been making announcements, Brother Neil, for 45 years. Listening to them and making them. You know, it's amazing what happens. You know, every service we make announcements. We make them from the pulpit. We put them up on the screen. Sometimes we write them in a bulletin. And guess what? Still people will call and say, wasn't there something going on this week? What time was that? Amen. It's always amazing to me how we you know, there are certain things we just, it's time to make announcements. It's time for my mind to go somewhere else. Amen. I've also been in services where the music's going and, man, everybody's getting with it. But when it's time to preach, slam the door. Amen. Now it's time to get my telephone out and text my friends or do a little Facebooking. And it's a wonderful age we live in. Amen. There was a guy at General Conference. I wish I could remember his name. He wrote a song. They used to have him sing it quite often during the preacher's meeting when we'd have our business session. It was not a real spiritual song, but it had a real spiritual message. And I don't remember all of it. I just remember this. It was about a Sunday school class. And one line said, "Joe's gone to Six Flags riding the Big Ben." And it went on to talk about different ones and where they were in the Sunday school class. I mean, their bodies were sitting right there in the chair, but one was off at Six Flags. And another one was off somewhere else. And another one was doing something else. Amen. Isn't it amazing how we can sit here and occupy a pew, but our mind can be a long ways away? We can be a long way. We can go far distance. Amen. And yet, That's what happens when we have a closed mind. The mind's closed. It's not opening up to anything else. It's going as far as it's going to go. President Franklin D. Roosevelt was in a reception line one time. And people were coming through. And you know how it is when you're the president. Whatever you say, people don't really listen. So he thought he'd try something. And so he was a little tired of... He knew people weren't listening to him. So he splashed a big old smile. And he was shaking hands. And he said, "I murdered my grandmother last night." Shaking their hands, smiling. And people said, "Oh, that's nice. That's wonderful. Hope you enjoyed it." "No, sir, you cannot. Thank you very much. We've already got our service lined out, brother. Thank you. I know, but we're not. This is not the time. This is not the place." "Okay. Thank you, sir. And I appreciate it, but we're not really." "Thank you, sir." But only one person listened to what he actually said. And he said, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." He's the president, you know. So even though he said he murdered his grandmother, I'm sure he had it coming. Amen. And so it's amazing how people close their minds to things. Minds are just closed. They're not open to anything. And that's a dangerous thing for Christians to have a closed mind. When you close your mind tonight, one of the dangers is that you become callous. You see... You know what? Anybody know what a callus is? You understand what a callus is, right? It's where you have a lot of friction, and it's applied and supplied, it gets blistered, and it gets tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher because of the friction. You see, that's what happens when you, day after day, service after service, you hear the word of the Lord, and it makes a blister and then a callus. At first, you're sensitive. And you feel it, and it works on you. And it's trying to persuade you to do something different. And it just, the friction continues. But if you don't yield to the Holy Ghost and you don't hear the word of the Lord and you resist the word of God, eventually it becomes callous. It becomes hard. You become insensitive because you're not moving with that. You see, that's the danger of having a closed mind. You form your own opinions. You have your own ideas. And even God Himself can't change you. That concerns me sometimes in preaching. It concerns me sometimes that we preach things and again, people hear what they want to hear. And you've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again, that sometimes we use the excuse, well, that's just the way I am. You know what that is? That's a closed mind. When the Holy Ghost is talking to you and you're not willing to change the way you are, that's a closed mind. When it's more important that you hold on to your opinion and your thought and your action and more than the Word of God, more than the Spirit of God, then you open yourself to callousness. And when you hear the Word of God and it moves you, but you don't do anything, you just remain passive. You let it pass on. That's also dangerous. Let me read you something from Matthew 25, verse 31. It said, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and the foundation of the world." Listen closely. He said, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then said the righteous, "And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" The king shall answer and say, "Verily I say unto you, as much as you have done unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me." So you see, those are those that responded to. They heard the word of God. It made them sensitive. They looked around them. They found opportunities to minister to others and do things for others. They found that. He said, "And then shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and you in prison, you visited me not." Then shall they also answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not minister unto thee?" And he said, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of these, you did it not to me." You see, that's being passive. Ministry. The word goes forth. We get stirred. And then we just pass it off. In opportunities to do things, but we don't do them. Opportunities to be involved, but we refuse to be involved. Let somebody else do it. Pass it on to somebody else. Do you remember when you first got the Holy Ghost, how excited you were to do things? How you wanted to be involved? Amen. Two or three of you do. Amen. Hallelujah. I know all of you do. But you remember you were excited about involvement. You want to do things for God. Amen. And then something sometimes it bothers me a little bit when people say, you know, well, I used to do so and so. I used to do so and so. I used to go to prayer meeting. I used to knock some doors. I used to witness. I used to do that. I used to do that. That's a little frightening, isn't it? Amen. I understand what happens with age. I do. I understand that we reach a place where our physical body cannot do some things that it did at one time. I understand that. But there are always opportunities for ministry somewhere. And we must be busy about our Father's business. So when we close our mind, dangerous things can happen. When we close our mind and the Holy Ghost is dealing. Anybody know what I'm saying here tonight? Are you with me on this? Amen. You see what happens? You know how it is. Sometimes the Lord actually talks to us about some things. And then if we resist that and deny that, then we're literally closing the door to His Lordship in some area of our life. And when we are carving out a portion of our life for ourselves where God cannot work in us. So that's the peril of the closed mind. Be careful that you don't close your mind to the Lord tonight. That's a very dangerous thing to do. To determine ahead of time. I know. Now, you can't open your mind to everything. I know that. Somebody said about one guy, he said he's so narrow-minded, if he fell on the head of a pin, it put both eyes out. Now that's narrow-minded. There's a danger of being narrow-minded, but there's also a danger of being so broad-minded that you don't stand for anything. You know that saying, right? He that stands for nothing will fall for anything. So you can't have that either. But you've got, in between, you've got to weigh by the Holy Ghost and by the Spirit of truth what you hear. And when you hear truth, and there's a ring to truth that the Spirit of truth recognizes. And when you hear it, you embrace it. I've heard some ideas that I'd never heard before. And some of them I rejected because they didn't have the ring of truth. And others, though they were new to me, I embraced them because they had the ring of truth. And they stood the test of the Word of God. Let me step out here a little further. And please, I'm not inferring anybody. I'm just preaching tonight. Like that little boy, he asked his daddy, he said, "Dad, is that story you told, was that real or is you just preaching?" Amen. Well, I'm just preaching tonight. I'm not telling stories about anybody. But you know, we can limit ourselves sometimes if we revere a teacher or a person and we don't open our mind to anything new just because they didn't say it. We can limit our growth. We can close our mind because somebody may say something differently than somebody else said. And I'm not, you got to be very careful in this area. I understand that. But if it's the truth, then we have to open our mind to it and embrace it. Let me give you an example, if I may. One example is, there was a time when we accepted segregation in the church, and there was a lot more racial prejudice in the church than there should have been. And there was very little preaching ever against it. Because that's the way society was, right? And I even know some elders that kind of maintained that view. And they were good men, but they were wrong on that issue. You hear what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you can love somebody, but you still can recognize when they're wrong. And if somebody judges somebody because of the color of their skin or their socioeconomic position in life or whatever else, you know what prejudice means? It means to prejudge. You judge somebody by something you know about them. And you don't give them a chance as an individual. That's what prejudice is. And so we don't prejudge. You know, the Bible has a lot more to say. You'll not find any of those things in the Bible. At least you'll not find them since. So what I'm saying is that there are some people that maintain an unhealthy prejudice because of the teaching of an elder. Is that all right? So you see, it's okay to let some things, when the Spirit of Truth tells you, you know what I'm talking about, the Holy Ghost tells you, but that's right. It doesn't matter who taught you it was okay. It's not okay. So you have to let go of some things. You understand what I'm saying? And I've also heard people that they'll give lip service to a thing. With one crowd, they'll say one thing. Another crowd, they'll say another thing. I'm getting in some deep water. I know I am. This is where I live, I guess, huh? In hot water. But I'm telling the truth anyway. Amen. And so you know, I've seen people, you know, they'll say amen when somebody, and this got Peter in trouble one time, by the way. The Apostle Peter. Now, Peter gave lip service to the Gentiles, but whenever, one time he was just visiting with the Gentiles until some Jews came in, and he was afraid they were going to say something about him over with the Gentiles, so he departed from the Gentiles and went talking to the Jews, separated himself. Paul saw that, and he said, Peter, withstood him to his face. I don't know what he said, but it was pretty strong. It made an impression. He never forgot it. Amen. Paul didn't either. He said, I withstood him. I just told him he's wrong. Amen. But I'm just saying that we can't have a closed mind. But on the other hand, neither can you have such an open mind that your brain falls out. Somewhere in between. What makes the difference? The Spirit of Truth. And the Word of God. Get a knowledge of the Word of God. Know what the Bible says. Don't take somebody's word for it. I tell you what, a few times, man, I've had some revelations, Brother Neil. I got all excited, and then I found out there wasn't anything to it. Amen. I said, well, so much, it was a good idea, but that's all it was. I found a verse that nailed it. I said, that's not right. So we've got to be careful. We've got to maintain the truth. At all costs, maintain truth. Love the Word of God above all. That's it. Let the Word speak. And God help us to have an open mind to hear what the Word of the Lord says. And then we've got to be careful about having a cloudy mind. Cloudy mind. Jesus in verse number 5-6, he said, some fell on stony places. They did not have much earth, and they immediately sprung up because they, everybody say, no depth. No depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. We've seen that, haven't we? If you've been around for a while, you've seen some people that they would spring up, and man, they would do great, and you had high hopes. Oh, they're doing so good. And then suddenly, they were gone. Because they had no depth. They didn't set down any roots. I've seen people, they'll follow the shout. They'll follow the signs. They're always looking, as long as it's exciting, that's where they want to be. But they don't want to sit in a Wednesday night Bible study where you have to think and discipline yourself to listen. Amen. But as long as there's good music and a lot of excitement, that's where they want to be. Because they have no depth. No depth. There is something among us that does concern me. And that is that people, in many cases, do not like to listen to teaching anymore. We love preaching because it's exciting. But just teaching. It takes discipline to listen to teaching. It's not easy, is it? But if you love the Word, I love teaching because I love the Word. I like people to teach. Everything I know, somebody taught me. Amen. Praise, I had to learn it. Somebody taught me. Or I applied myself to study. Everything you know, Brother Fry preached one time, you had to learn. Amen. That's right. Took some discipline. We've referred to that over and over about learning how to read, learning your math tables. Amen. All the things you've learned that are valuable in your life. It was not easy to do it. Some of us, you know, you spent 12 years trying to get out of school. Some went on past that to colleges and universities and just applied yourself to learning and the knowledge. It's not easy to do that. It takes a lot of discipline to do that. What was it Peter said? Gird up the loins of your mind. Bring thoughts into captivity. Amen. Make your mind behave. Listen. I think one of the great enemies of that, and I've said it before, is television that entertains us to the point we always want to be entertained. Right? We want to be entertained. If it's boring, I don't want to listen to it. If it requires discipline and I've got to focus, it's hard to do. Make it entertaining. Amen. Put it in color. Draw me a cartoon. Do something. Amen. But we get a cloudy mind, which is a superficial Christianity. It doesn't have any depth to it. Amen. And it's a sad and a dangerous thing to have a cloudy mind because it doesn't have any root. And if it doesn't have any root, when it gets hot, it withers away. Amen. You got to get down and get where it's cool and get down where there's moisture and get a root system that can draw nutrients up the body into the plant so that you can survive. And so a cloudy mind is a mind that doesn't have any discipline to it. It loves the thrill, but it doesn't want to. It doesn't like, for instance, I've met people that don't like doctrine. But that's, you know, doctrine divides us. That's one of the silliest ideas I've ever heard in my life. You know how we got all these different religions? Because we didn't stand for the doctrine. If we would have stood for the doctrine of the apostles, we'd still only have one doctrine, wouldn't we? Isn't that right? But we got all these different ideas because somebody didn't accept the doctrine of the apostles and they wanted to change things. That's why we go back to the book of Acts. That's what the church taught. You know what the original church taught? Go to the book of Acts. Read the epistles. That's what the original church taught. Anything after that, churches came in time to believe what they call higher criticism. And progressive revelation that, you know, God just continued revealing things. And so in our day, he doesn't require the same thing as he did in his day. Oh, I don't think so. I think Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And I also read in the same book that said, if any man adds to or takes away from the words of this book, let the curses of this book be applied to him. God didn't want his word changed. I don't like my word changed. You don't like your word changed. Have you ever had somebody twist something you said and make it into something you didn't say? Doesn't that anger you? I think it angers God too. I don't think God likes it when people take his word and the Bible said they wrest it or they twist it to their own destruction. So the Bible says what it says, means what it says, and is unchanging. Amen. It is immutable. It does not change, just like God does not change. So we've got to be careful about having a cloudy mind that won't receive instruction, doesn't love learning. Amen. Boy, we live in such a such a wild and crazy environment in our world that all it seeks for is entertainment. Amen. What is it? TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Party time. Here I come. Amen. That's it. Entertainment. Entertain me. I was telling another service about a guy I was watching, and I've never seen anybody trying harder to have a good time, but it wasn't registered on his face. I watched him roar by fast on his motorcycle and slam on the brakes and jumped off of that and got in a four-wheeler and did some wheelies and run around on that a little while and jumped off of that and got on his jet ski and roared off down through the water and have just turning circles and having a high old time. Come back, jumped out of that and got in his boat. One toy after another toy after another toy and never a smile on his face. Just entertain me. And if I can't be entertained, let me drink until I can numb it. Let me take something that'll dull the pain and let me not feel as sharply. Because I'm feeling that's a cloudy mind. Amen. And we can have that in church. And in church, we can get a cloudy mind that wants to constantly be entertained, but it doesn't want any depth. And then there is a committed, the cluttered mind. Uh-oh, now I'm going to step on some toes. The cluttered mind. Jesus said, verse 7, and some fell among thorns. Now he goes on to clarify this in verse 22. He said, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. Everybody say, hears the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. See, this is a cluttered mind. There's two dangers here. He said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Those are two things Jesus told us to be careful about. Don't care about the world too much. The Bible said, John said it, he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And there are some people, they love God. I know they love God. I know they do. They want to serve the Lord. They want to come to church. They want to do right. But they love the world so much. You know what I'm talking about. They talk about God. They cry when they talk about God. They have tears in their eyes when they talk about God. They genuinely do love God. They just love the world more. Amen. They just love the world more. They just can't let go of the cares of this world. And there are other people, they're just dedicated to stuff. Amen. They can't help themselves. They've got to work two or three jobs because they've got to have stuff. And their kids got to have stuff. Amen. And so it's all about toys. It's all about the best. God wants me to have the best. No, it doesn't. Not if it's going to bankrupt you. Not if you're going to lose your soul over it. Where did that idea ever come from anyway? Huh? Where did you ever read in the Bible, God wants me to have the best. He wants me to drive the best car, live in the best house. We call that greed. Amen. Deception. God could care less whether you drive a Rolls Royce or a Volkswagen. I don't think he really cares personally. That's your decision. But you need to put God first. That's what I read somewhere. It said, seek ye what? First. What? Seek what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things shall be added unto you. So when you seek God first, stuff will come. But seek God first. That's why the Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. Because they're deceitful. Amen. And I hope I'm not getting out of line here. Don't believe I am. I believe I'm in the, still in the Word. Amen. But we hear this, and I've heard preachers preach this, that God wants you to have the best. Amen. Well, amen. I guess I just didn't read that. I don't think God's, again, I don't think He's real concerned. I know He doesn't want you to love stuff more than He loves Him. And He doesn't want you to get so in love with stuff that you're going around with ulcers all the time because you're worried about paying your bills and you're one payment away from bankruptcy because of all your stuff. I don't believe that. I don't believe God wants you to work two or three jobs and have no time to work for Him. Hello? Amen. I don't believe God wants you to be tempted to be proud. Amen. Look down on others because they don't have stuff as good as you got. Amen. Amen. You know how much this suit costs? You know, I was in Neiman Marcus the other day and just had to pick up this shirt and tie. It's on sale. $300. Amen. You like these shoes? These are Jimmy's. Amen. You see, that's what I'm talking about. You get caught up in that. If you're not careful, you can get caught up in it. Amen. You see this shirt? It's a Van Heusen. Got it at JCPenney. Amen. On the sale table, 50% off. Amen. Shirt and tie. $15. Amen. So, but I'm saying people get caught in the deceitfulness of riches. It becomes a competition for some. So the cluttered mind, it's a mind that's full of things. It's full of yesterday and today and tomorrow, and it can be full of worry. It can be full of anxiety. Yeah. You can sit on the pew. And like I said, you can go to Six Flags or wherever you want to go, or you can go back to yesterday. And you can worry about something that happened yesterday. And you can go back to an argument you have with somebody. Amen. Or you can go off to tomorrow about what you're going to be doing tomorrow or later on today. See, that's a cluttered mind. It cannot discipline itself to latch on to the Word of God and listen and let that Word be formed in us and transform us and change us. And you know, if the devil, you know, the devil discovers, if he knows you're doing that, he knows how to do it. And when you get down to pray, you know what he's going to do? He's going to start putting it in your head. You know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. Man, I've got to hurry up and get through here. I got so much to do, and your prayer time is void because you're so worried about stuff you got to do that you can't pray. You sit down and read the Bible, and you start reading, and all of a sudden you start thinking about this, and you start thinking about that, and you get a cluttered mind. You have to learn to discipline that. One good thing, I just give you a practical thing. What you can do is take your pen and paper if you think you're going to forget something important. And just write it down for later. Say, okay, I'll take care of that after I've had my prayer time. I'll take care of that after I've read the Scripture. But right now, this is God time. This is time with the Lord. And so none of that matters right now. We'll take care of that later. And you get it. That's a cluttered mind. And it can cause you problems because the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world crowd in. And crowd God out. Then finally, I'm going to wrap it up with a committed mind. I don't mean a mind that needs to be committed. I mean a committed mind. Amen. A committed mind. Verse 8 said, "But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop." Isn't that great? Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Amen. It yielded something. It produced something. God wants us to be fruitful. I said God wants us to be fruitful. Do you know what a committed mind is? It's a teachable mind. Amen. No matter how old you get, you need to maintain a teachable spirit. God, I want to be teachable. Amen. I want to be open to truth, and I can receive truth from anybody, anywhere. Amen. If a young Bible college student gets up here to preach and he's preaching truth, I might learn something from him that I've never known before. When I taught at Texas Bible College, I was always learning, Brother Neil. Those young men would come with questions I never even thought about. Never even thought about it. And then ask a question, and I'd say, well, now, we'll have to check that out. And you learn, you see. As long as you have a teachable spirit, you can always learn. Never get to the place where you can't learn. Brother J.T. Pugh, I love it when he 80 years old, and I heard him preaching one time, and he said, you've heard that an old dog can't learn new tricks. He said, this old dog is dying to learn. Amen. And he would go to the library after he was retired and had quit pastoring, but he'd spend time in the library, and he'd be reading, he'd be studying, he'd be digging. Because he wanted to learn something. He wanted to find something. And so that's a good thing. A committed mind is a teachable mind. It's like kids. You know, little ones, whenever they start talking. Woo! How many questions can they ask in a day? You know why they do that? Because they're teachable and they want to learn. You say, well, why? And you tell them and they say, why? And they say, why? Because they want to learn. Their mind is open and they're wanting to know everything. Just, oh, everything's a wonder. Everything's marvelous. And why is the sky blue? And why is the grass green? And why does a brown cow eat green grass and give white milk? Why? Everything's why. Amen. And they just want to know everything. And we, see, that's a teachable mind. That's a wonderful mindset. I want to know everything there is to know. I read one time that George Washington Carver, famous scientist, he told the Lord, he said, God, he said, I just want to know everything. And supposedly the Lord said, George, I'm God. You can't know everything. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you know everything there is to know about a peanut. And so he was a botanist and he studied peanuts. I believe they said that George Washington Carver could serve a 17-course meal with products made from a peanut. He knew a lot about peanuts and, of course, many other things. But you see, he had a desire to know and to learn. Beautiful thing. God help us never to lose the desire to learn. I don't want that to ever be quenched. I like to learn things. I enjoy learning. Amen. I always want to be a learner. Amen. I want to be a student somehow, some way. Amen. So here's how you master your mindset. You got a cluttered mind? Got a cloudy mind? Got a closed mind? Here's how you get a committed mind. It's the only one that's acceptable of the four, isn't it? Only one's fruitful, and that's the committed mind. So here's how we get a committed mind. First of all, we have to commit ourselves to listen carefully to God's message. Everybody say, listen. The first thing we do is listen. Seems like I read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you see, it comes by listening. We have to learn to listen to the right thing. The right thing. Now you're going to hear some wrong things. But when you have listened long enough to truth, you'll know when you hear truth and when you don't. You will. You'll recognize error. You will. And then, secondly, We commit ourselves by faith to resist outside clatter. You see, you have to learn how to separate things. I read a story years ago about two men walking down the street in New York City. And all of a sudden, one of them stopped and he said, "Hey," I said, "Do you hear that?" He said, "That's a cricket." The guy said, "I don't hear no cricket." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I grew up out in the country. I went to sleep listening to those little buddies." He said, "That's a cricket." And he listened for a minute, and he walked over, and he walked over, and there, sure enough, right around the corner over there in another corner, there was a little cricket over there. He said, "See, told you it's a cricket." He'd learned to hear that. They walked a little further, and all of a sudden, another guy stopped. He said, "You hear that?" He said, "What's that?" He said, "Somebody dropped a dime." He'd also learned to listen. So you learn to cut out the clatter and the chaos, and you learn how to focus on what's right, and that's how you get a committed life. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? What is it they said that you know, that great men discuss ideas, and normal men discuss things, and shallow people discuss people. In other words, they gossip. So by that scale, where are we? Amen. Gossip really doesn't add much to you, but it sure does take something away from somebody else. So be careful what you clutter your mind with. And then, third, we must make a commitment to evaluate. Everybody say evaluate our lives in the light of what we hear. When you hear something, don't automatically shift it off to somebody else. Don't just grab your pitchfork and say, "Oh man, brother so-and-so sure did need that." "Well, I heard sister say something the other day. I know she really needed that." No. You evaluate before you pass it on. And you see if that might fit somewhere in your life. "God, would this somehow fit me?" Evaluate before you pass anything on. And then you've got to make a commitment to apply the truth you hear. Everybody say apply. What was it James said? He said, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Amen. Don't just look in the mirror and see your flaws, but do something about it. If you got egg on your face, wash it off, for goodness sake. Amen. You got jelly stains, get rid of them. Got spinach stuck between your teeth, get it out. Amen. Don't just ignore it and go on. Amen. Change things. Evaluate. Apply. And then he said, we must make a commitment to obey. Everybody say obey. Truths that God has impressed upon us. Obey. Amen. So that's how we get a committed mind. We learn to listen, resist outside clutter, apply the Word of God to our lives, obey the Word of the Lord. We learn how to do that. Brother Grissom, that sounds like a lot of work. It does, but it pays dividends. Here's the wonderful thing about your mind. Your mind can be trained to do things. It can be trained to take a journey, or it can be trained to concentrate. And you can train it however you want it. If somebody said, "Well, it's hard for me to listen." Yeah, but you can learn. I said, you can learn. You know what? You learn to listen to the stuff you listen to. So you can learn to listen to good stuff. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. This is good, Brother Grissom. You're helping us out here tonight. Amen. You're teaching us some good stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, you can learn how to listen to rock music. Or you learn how to listen to good music. I don't think people do that really. I think you have to learn to like it. I know you do. Amen. You know, people don't normally automatically learn to like alcoholic beverage. It's a learned behavior. You have to learn to like it. Anything that burns that bad, hurts that much to drink, you got to learn to do it. Isn't that right? You know how you learn? Peer pressure. Saying, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Be a man, you can do it. Right? So you listen to that long enough, that's what you become. And you force yourself to do things. Amen. You force yourself to do things. You learn. You can also learn how to get out of that. Yes, you can. Amen. All right. I've meddled long enough. I'm going to stop. Amen. King Solomon prayed a prayer to God. And he asked not for wealth. He didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for a lot of money and wealth. You know what he asked for? He said, Lord, I want an understanding heart. An understanding heart. In other words, I want to understand other people. You know how you understand other people? One of the keys is, you've got to listen to them. Really listen to them. Not like people were listening to President Roosevelt. You got to really learn to listen to them. Listen to what they say. Listen to what they don't say. Learn to hear even more than their words. An understanding. And then you don't just make snap judgments, but you learn how to put yourself in a situation. You learn to understand motives and not only actions. That's an understanding heart. Sometimes it bothers me when people say, I just don't understand how you could do something like that. Well, that's not an understanding heart. Have you ever done anything stupid and boneheaded? Shake your head like this right here. I sure have, sir. Then you know how they did it. Just the way you did. They just did something different. That's an understanding part. Amen. Don't be saved so long you get to the point where you don't understand how people can be sinners because you were one. Yeah, you were. Oh, I was a sinner, but I didn't do that. Well, you would have if God hadn't got you out of it. You sure could have. You've done some other stuff that's pretty stupid. How do I know all this? Because I'm just like you. But that's how you get an understanding heart. You look back, Brother Neil, and say, why did I do this? That was so stupid why I did that. Amen. And then you look at other people and you apply the same thing. Well, I know why you did that. I know how you did that. Because I've done stupid stuff too. That's an understanding heart. You see, you learn how to, instead of judging people, you learn how to put yourself in their place. Say, well, I sure could have done that. If the situation was right, that could have been me. And so he said, I want an understanding heart. Not just a judgmental heart. Now that doesn't mean that you tell people it's okay to do wrong. You just understand how they can do wrong, but you don't want to leave them in that. You want to get them out of it. That's what God did for you, right? He didn't just say, oh, honey, I understand. No, sir. He said, you come on out of that. Amen. Isn't that what he said? Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. He said, that's okay, I understand, but don't you stay there. You come on out now. You get out of that mess. You were created for better things than that. And he gives us a clean heart and a right spirit. And he puts his Holy Spirit in us. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank God for an understanding heart. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is having an understanding heart. Wisdom is the ability to listen to the right voice and to respond in the right way. That's what wisdom simply is. You listen to the right voice and you respond in the right way. Amen. It's about choices, isn't it? Life's all about choices. That's what it is. We just got to make right choices. That's what it comes down to. Doing it every day. And the more you make right choices, the better you get at it. The better you get. It's not easy. In the beginning, it's kind of hard. But you just keep making the right choices. You know what happens? It becomes a habit. And once something becomes a habit, it's not hard any longer, is it? It's just a habit. So you make a habit of doing the right thing and thinking the right way. Amen. Mastering your mindset. Thank you for your time and paying attention tonight and bearing with me through this journey and this lesson. But I want to apply some things. How about you? I want to apply this. Not just to hear it, but I'd like to apply it tonight. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Amen. And so, I think it would be good if we'd just take a few moments, if you'd like, and step out from where you are and let's gather around this altar tonight and ask God to help us to master our mindset. Lord, I do want to have a committed mind. Honestly, I want to be able to do what Peter talked about, gird up the loins and get all those cluttered thoughts and stray thoughts and draw them in and make them focus on the right thing. Help me, God, during church time and service time and prayer time and devotional time and Bible reading time. Help me, God, to make those thoughts be committed to you. Help me to be able to draw it all in and really grow and really mature. I don't want to make excuses. I want to make progress. I don't want to stay the same. I want to grow. I want to become more and more and more like you. Every day, in every way, I want to become like you, Jesus. I want to learn things that please you and do them. I want to learn the things, God, that you listen to, and I want to listen to that voice. I want to learn the things that you say, and I want to speak those words. I want to watch your actions and see the things you do, and I want to emulate those things that I see in you. And I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to progress. Teach me, O Lord. Teach me. Amen. Put in me. The Bible said that we have the mind of Christ. I do. When you gave me the Holy Ghost, you gave me the ability to think righteous thoughts. Amen. You took out the carnal mind and you gave me a spiritual mind and the ability. Now teach me the discipline of using that mind and using that. God, don't let me be a selective hearer tonight. I don't want to just select the things that I want to hear, but apply this to my heart and my life. Amen. Talk to me about the things that are serious and the things that I need to change, and help me to listen to you and help me to get serious about it. Please, whatever you do, don't leave me the same. Don't let me make the same mistakes tomorrow that I made today. Amen. Help me, Lord, to do better tomorrow than I did today.